My name is Dove. I'm one of the pastors, and it's good to be together, as always. I really am blessed. So if you're just connecting with us today, thanks for being here. We are going through a series on the book of Ephesians in the Bible, and we're also connecting it with a book that a Chinese believer named Watchman Nee wrote in the 50s. Which has been really cool to connect. I think it's drawn out some really wonderful insights that I've appreciated. And so I hope you all have got some good things out of it too, if you've been jumped in for a while. So today we're going to look at Ephesians 5, the start of that, walking in love. And so just to kind of look at the summary of Ephesians, the overview of Ephesians, I like how Watchman Nee laid it out. The first three chapters are doctrinal, and so those doctrinal chapters tell us about our position in Christ. And so who we are in Christ, the amazing things that Christ has done for us. And because of how magnificent Christ is and what he's accomplished, who we are, and speaks so deeply about a new identity that we have. The next section, which we are in now, is the practical. So it's chapters 4 through 6 are about living a life worthy of Christ. What does that look like to live a life in this world? And so sit was kind of the key word in the first section. We are seated with Christ. And we sit with him. He is enthroned in the heavens. He has the victory, and he is seated, and we are seated with him through faith in Christ. And the next part is to walk in what Christ has invited us into. And then finally, we're going to look at stand and the last section of Ephesians, just our attitude towards the enemy. And so I'm going to share some of the things out of Sit, Walk, Stand. I thought he had such cool ways of looking at these, such great insights. But on page 41, Watchman Nee writes that, "Too many Christians have all the doctrine," so that's kind of those first three chapters, but lives that are contradictions of it. They know all about chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, but they do not put chapters 4 to 6 into practice. It were better to have no doctrine than to be a contradiction. So he's saying that if we know all the truths about Christ and what he's done and who we are, but we never do anything, that's a huge contradiction. To know, but then to just leave it there, it would be better not even to know. That's a pretty strong statement. So what are we supposed to walk into? And today, we're going to look at the first one of those things that we are called to look in, to walk in. We are called to walk in love. We are called to love. And I don't know about your experience with loving people. There's been times in my life when I felt like, man, I'm really loving. Like, I love people. I care about people. I've heard people say, I love everybody in the whole world. And I've felt that too. Yeah, I love everybody in the whole world. And then I got married and I was like, realized, man, I am selfish. And there's been lots of other times in my life that I've realized that. And I think one of the things, you know, we took a time a while back. We went through this little video, my family and I, and part of it was just listening to God. And there was a question, God, what do you appreciate about me? And I felt like God said to me that he appreciates my tender heart. And I have a tender heart. And there's times when I have a really tender heart and I really care really deeply and I have a lot of compassion for people. And there's other times when my heart is so crusted over. And there'll be certain situations, especially in places where I'm feeling stuff about myself, kind of like Jairo sharing that, you know, that sense of guilt. For me, it becomes the shame. And when I'm feeling inadequate and these things about myself, I can be a huge jerk. And you guys might not see that. It comes out with my family, my kids, my wife. And there's been a few times there's just been people that are hard for me to love. And there's times when it's like, I just have no love. The well has run dry. And I've tried to conjure up love. I've tried to be loving. I had a roommate that, man, for whatever reason, he was just hard for me to love. And I tried and tried, but it was like up and down. And I don't know about your experience. What's your experience of loving? We are called by God to love. And that's not just a word that's like, oh, this fuzzy feeling. I love people. It's way deeper than that. And we're going to look at that. And I was listening to Ephesians on the just off YouTube, audio Ephesians. And in the translation, we're going to go through this section, this verse today. But there was something that just kept hitting me. Every time I'd listen to the end of Ephesians 4 and start into 5, just like, I felt like God was just saying it right to me. He says, be tenderhearted. Be tenderhearted. No! I'll love, but don't let me be tenderhearted, because that hurts. And God's calling us to a deep love, a vulnerable love that can hurt, that really cares, that goes beyond just what's required of us. And so we're going to read through Ephesians 4. I'm going to just do the last couple verses in chapter 4 and then jump into 5. And so why don't we pray and ask God to speak to us in it. Thank you, God, for this morning. I thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that you want to teach us. Jesus, I thank you that you showed us how to love, that you know how to love. I give you my inadequacy. I cannot love sufficiently on my own. I cannot. I have tried and I cannot. But I come to you as the source of love to learn how to love. I ask that you would open our eyes. I ask that you would teach us today. Grow us in love that we might be a light to this world. In Jesus' name. All right, so in Paul's letter, by the way, the Bible wasn't originally written with verses and chapters. That was added later, which I think is really cool and important. So it's kind of, if you just think of it, just flowing from here into the next chapter. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, I had to look that up. I don't know what clamor is. I guess it's loud quarreling. That's what the little footnote said. So quarreling and slander, speaking badly about others, be put away from you. Take those off. With all malice, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I'm going to stop there and then we'll come back. But just to look at that. So we are asked to take off bitterness from those wounds that have come against us, from the wrongs that have happened to us, where it would be so easy to be like, that was wrong, and I'm going to hold that against you. I'm going to keep you at arm's length. I'm going to hang on to that. To take that off. Take off that bitterness. Wrath, anger, the quarreling, the clamor, all the slander that's so easy just to speak poorly about each other, and all malice, and instead to be kind to one another. And that sounds nice, to be kind. And then again, this word just hits me, tender-hearted. To be tender-hearted towards one another, forgiving one another. Forgive is to release a debt. Just, you owe me this, but I pardon it. I release it. I let go of it. And therefore, be imitators of God. That's quite a phrase right there. Be imitators of God. I don't know if the bar gets any higher than that. I don't, maybe. Can you say anything higher than that? Just be like God. Hey, you, good instruction. Just be like God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. He gave himself up as a sacrifice to God. He gave all that he had. He gave who he was on our behalf that we could be with God. He paid a price for us. He loved us so deeply. Be like that. Continues on. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness. So covetousness is wanting what someone else has, wanting more than you have. Must not even be named among you. And when it says not even named among you, doesn't mean, hey, don't tell anybody that I'm coveting. It means it shouldn't even exist. It shouldn't even be like a thing. There shouldn't even be any amount of sexual immorality, impurity, things that are impure, that are away from the purity of God. A pure devotion to him, a sincerity, all of the things that are fake, all of the things that are insincere, all the things that are broken, any amount of greed or wanting what, you know, this envy and coveting, they shouldn't even be there. Should not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. We should be saints because we are in Christ. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, which are focused on the things of this world, but there should be thanksgiving. Wow, awesome. And I think thanksgiving is so awesome because the foolish talk and all that coarse joking is just based on, like, it's very lower thinking. It's just at this level, just kind of what can make us laugh and entertain us. And thanksgiving is a very higher thinking. It is connected to the thoughts of God. It draws us out beyond that base level to God who gives all gifts. And to walk in that appreciation with each other. This is a high, high standard of love. And he goes on, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So now he's saying that all of these things, sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness, are not fit for the kingdom of Christ and God. They don't belong there. And so, and even to say greed or covetousness is idolatry, it's saying, I have a different God besides God. So now it's turning not just from loving people to loving God. How do we love God? By getting rid of all the filth that where we love something else above God. And we love God for all that that he is, with all that we have. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things that don't love God, that turn against God, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. This is a challenge for me. We are supposed to love everyone, but we're not supposed to be partners with everyone. And that's a big difference. We should not be partners with those who are walking in a path separate from God. But we need to love them deeply, care for them. So let's just look at what is this love that Paul is describing, that God prescribes for us. It's a love that goes beyond right and wrong. It goes beyond what is fair or what someone deserves. It's a sacrificial love. And if you've read Matthew 5, really famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives this amazing sermon in chapter 5, he's talking about we should love our enemies. And if someone slaps us on the face, we should let them slap us on the other cheek as well. And we should pray for those who are against us and bless them. And then he finishes by saying, and be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The kind of love that God gives is not a kind of love of like, oh, here's what you've earned. It's a kind of love that gives and gives way beyond. I like the story that Watchman Nee says. He says there was a Chinese Christian, and he had a rice field. And I don't really understand it, but they had dug a well, and there was a pump that pumped out water. And there was some kind of treadmill. I don't know if it was animals that made the pump go or if people had to do it. But anyways, they had to work hard to pump the water. And so the guy would pump water into his field, and rice takes a lot of water. So flood the field full of water. And there was a farmer that had two fields down below. And so that farmer would come and just open up the side and let all the water flow down into his fields and take the water from him and fill up both of his fields instead. And this believer is like upset. Man, I'm pumping all this water. And so they got together and trying to figure out what to do, and they prayed about it. And after they prayed about it, they decided what he ought to do is pump water for those two fields first and then pump for his own. And so the next time he got up, instead of pumping for his field, he just opened it up, pumped, filled up both of those fields for the other farmer, and then closed it, filled up his own. And the farmer came and was like, "What are you doing?" He was so blown away that he eventually came to Christ. He saw something. He saw love that was like, it's not about what is right and what is wrong, what you deserve. It went way beyond that to, here's how I can give to you. There was another story I thought was great. There was an older Japanese woman, and someone broke into her house. And so this person broke into her house. I'm sure she was frightened, and just in a simple act of faith, she just cooked a meal for him. And then she gave him the keys to her house. And he was so ashamed of himself that he left, and eventually he came to Christ as well. It's like love is not based on these rules and based on here's what we need to do and here's the right. Love gives cheerfully. It gives. It's beyond what someone has earned. And that's how God loves us. And I don't know about you, as you read this, I think, at least for me, and I like how Watchman Nee draws this out, there's a sense of the demands of love are impossible. you got to be kidding me. Like, you want me to imitate God and be perfect and love my enemies, give to those who have hurt me. I can't. Even when I try, it's impossible. How can I do that? How can I walk? And that phrase walk in is also translated live a life of. How can I live a life of love? I don't have that in me. I run dry. And Watchman Nee shares about two different prayers. And I like what he was saying. Imagine an illustration he talked about in an earlier chapter. Perhaps there's a certain brother, meaning another believer in Christ. It doesn't have to be a guy, it could be a gal too. But I want you to think about this. Perhaps there's a certain brother whom you find very trying and with whom you are constantly getting into difficulties. Whenever you meet him, he says or does something calculated to arouse in you resentment. This troubles you. You say, "I'm a Christian. And I ought to love him. I want to love him. Indeed, I'm determined to love him." Then, taking a firm grip on yourself and summoning all your willpower, you set out with a genuine desire to display to him that love for which you have prayed. But alas, when you get into his presence, something happens to bring all your good intentions to nothing. His response to you is not in the least encouraging, but rather the reverse, and immediately your old resentment flares up, and once again the utmost you can do is to be polite to him. I don't know if anybody can imagine that. Have you ever had a situation, maybe a coworker or somebody at school or somebody, maybe in your family, just like, I'm trying so hard to love him, but just... And then, okay, I'll try again. And so he mentions two prayers. What would you pray to God? What would you ask God? And the first prayer he mentions is this prayer. You say, look, I'm a Christian and I ought to love him. I want to love him. Indeed, I am determined to love him. I just read that. And so you pray very earnestly, Lord, increase my love for him, O God. Give me love. And it might not just be love we're praying for. It might be, please give me patience. Please, God, give me more faith. Please, God, give me strength. And I think that's a great prayer. But Washman Nee doesn't think it is. He says there's a different way to love. Because what we're doing there is we're treating love like a commodity. What I need is love. And God's going to give me this commodity of love. What I need is patience. And God's going to give me this thing, patience. What I need is forgiveness. And God is going to give me this thing, forgiveness. What I need is gentleness. And God is going to give me this commodity of gentleness. And now I possess gentleness. But he says it doesn't work. And then you're like, God, I prayed and you didn't give me gentleness. And instead, he says we ought to pray, Lord, it's clear to me that at last in myself, I cannot love him at all. But I know now that there's a life within me, the life of the Son, Jesus. And that the law of that life is to love. It cannot but love him. And then he describes after this prayer, just a spontaneous love that comes out. Why? Because the point Watchman Nee makes, which I think is so beautiful, and for me, I almost see it from afar. I see it like there's this huge, beautiful play going on in the theater, and I've snuck in from the side and peeked at it a few times, but I've never fully been in it. And I don't know if this series has wet some of that in you. I hear Jairus saying stuff like that as he leads. That it's not a commodity, but it is the presence of the living Christ in us who loves. It is the presence of the living Christ in us who is patient. It is the presence of the living Christ in us who is strong for any situation. It is the presence of the living Christ in us who is gentle. And as we stay connected to him, it spontaneously, unconsciously flows out of us. And we can strive and strive and strive for love, and we'll never have it. We can strive and strive and strive for more faith, and we don't have it. But instead, right there in Christ, we have the fullness as we rest in him. On page 34, just to read some of this, he says, we're faced with a challenge. Matthew 5 sets a standard that we may well feel is impossibly high. Yes, I do. And Paul in the section of Ephesians endorses it. The trouble is that we just do not find in ourselves by nature the means to attain to that standard, to walk as becometh saints. Where then lies the answer to our problem of God's exacting demands? The secret is, in the words of Paul, the power that works in us. In a parallel passage, Colossians 1:29, he says, I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. We are back again in the first section of Ephesians. What is the secret strength of the Christian life? Whence has its power? Let me give you the answer in a sentence. The Christian's secret is his rest in Christ. His power derives from his God-given position. Lord, I want to enter that rest even more. All who sit can walk, for in the thought of God, the one follows the other spontaneously. We sit forever with Christ, that we may walk continuously before men. Forsake for a moment our place of rest in him, and immediately we are tripped, and our testimony to the world is marred. But abide in Christ, and our position there ensures the power to walk worthy of him here. I can walk in love as Christ loves me. So, how can we do this impossible thing of walking in love? We can do it as Christ loves through us. As Christ loves through us, we can do what's impossible. The second thing I want to add to that, that Paul talks about, is that I can walk in love as Christ loves me. And I know I've shared recently about just how much God has been changing me as I realize how much he loves me. And as I allow God to love me, I am able to have love to give. It becomes a spring of water rather than like a little reservoir that I have that runs out. So what it say in Ephesians 4:32? It says, be tenderhearted and forgive as God in Christ forgave you. And then in 5:1, be imitators of God as beloved children. And then after that, walk in love as Christ loved us. So we must allow ourselves to be loved if we are to have any love to give. I think one of the greatest things we can do is to take the time to just allow God to love us. Even today we're going to do communion. I want to encourage you during that time to just allow God to love you. I might just be sitting in your chair and just, God, I'll let you love me. The only way we can forgive anyone is if we ourselves have been forgiven. And sometimes we say, well, I don't need forgiveness. Well, then I won't be able to forgive anyone. Sometimes we may say, I don't deserve forgiveness. Well, if I don't receive it, I won't be able to give it. And God has freely given us forgiveness. And to look at that, we are to imitate God as beloved children. Do you know who we are? We are beloved children of God. You are the beloved child of God. God says to you, my dear child, I love you. You are my beloved. And so beautiful how God the Father spoke that to his son Jesus before Jesus had done any ministry. This is my beloved son. God doesn't love you because of what you accomplish, because of what you do, because of how good you are, because of how much love you have. God loves you because you are his beloved child. Sometimes it's really hard to let ourselves be loved. Sometimes it's really hard not to say, I don't need love. Or it's really hard to say, no, I don't deserve love. but to just really allow ourselves to be loved. I think one of the most important times to allow ourselves to be loved is after we've totally failed. And when I've failed, I want to think of all the ways I can improve and be better, and how pathetic I am, and all these messed up ways of thinking. I think in those times is when we need to hear God's love even more. When we've totally failed, I think we can sit down and say, God, I'll let you love me. In those times of overwhelm, you know, when I was younger, I could really, like in my mid-30s, I could motor through life. I was stronger in my 30s. And I could just keep going. In my mid-40s, I feel like, I think I was always just as frail, but I realized, like, God, I need your love. If I don't have your love today, I'm going to be a mess. I'm not going to have the strength for the day. And sometimes when we're overwhelmed is when we need God's love the most. In those times when, like we're just overwhelmed by maybe anger or shame or fear, is what we need is not to solve those things. What we need is just to let God love us. And even in those places where I totally blow it, I think what's been powerful for me is to have God's love, not in like, I'm going to change you, but why did you do that? What in you was hurt that made you react that way? What in you made you say, I deserve better? What in you, when was there a time when you were mistreated, neglected, rejected, and now you're reacting without love? Let me love that place. Let me love that place where you got rejected and neglected, wounded. I don't know, God. That's kind of tender. I don't know if I want you to love me. Just make me strong. That's what I want. And I think the secret to being able to love is to let yourself be loved. So, summary of today. We're called beyond our rights to a life of sacrificial love. That's the what. And the how. How in the world can we do that? We are able to walk in love as we drink deeply of the love of God. And as we allow the love of God in Christ, who's in us, to flow out of us. And so, today, if you leave today and feel like I've called you to muster up more strength to love, I've missed the mark. If today you leave and you feel a call to allow God to love you and allow Him to love through you, and I feel like I would have spoke what I wanted to speak. And it's my prayer for you that you would know more and more the length and width and height and depth and breadth and the magnificence of God's love, that you might be filled with the fullness of Christ. And the fullness of Christ would overflow out of your life into love for this world who deeply needs His love. We're going to pray and we'll take some time to do communion. If you have put your faith in Christ, I just invite you, anybody's welcome to come and receive, remember the blood and body of Christ that were given for us. And I want to ask you during this time, there's going to be some instrumental music. Just let yourself be loved. Receive the love of Christ that He wants to give you, that He has given you, that He continues to give you. Let His love go into the deepest places where you need to be loved more than you may even realize. Let's pray.
Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for the amazing sacrifice that you have accomplished for us. Thank you for loving me. God, I ask that you would give us hearts that receive your love, that are tender enough, that allow ourselves to be loved, that are tender enough to love others. I pray that you would be honored, that you would be loved, that the expression of your love in us would overflow into love for you and love for others. Have your way. We receive you today in Jesus' name.